Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before we get started today by welcoming our guests, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search LLC, who make today's show possible. Please do keep Markham Search in mind for all of your temporary, direct hire, and executive staffing and recruitment needs throughout the United States. So a special thank you to them and to our guest today who's joining us, Jane Finkel. Jane has over 25 years of experience as a career coach for universities and has run her own career counseling firm since 2002. Prior to founding her practice, Jane served as Associate Director of Career Services at the University of Pennsylvania, where she designed and administered career programs, developed resources, and provided career counseling and advice on employment trends for students and alumni for the College of Arts and Sciences and the Wharton School. She created and led the Wharton Career Discovery Seminar and served as liaison to recruiters from major corporations. Finkel is also a member of the National Career Development Association, Middle Atlantic Career Counseling Association, and has served on the board of Dress for Success Philadelphia. Finkel wrote a weekly column, Career Blueprints, for Abington Patch and has been published in the Huffington Post and Adirondack Life. She currently resides in Philadelphia. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jane.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so I love this idea. You just released this new book, The Idea of the Introvert's Complete Guide, from Landing a Job to Surviving, Thriving, and Moving on Up. So tell me a little bit about what was it that had you particularly choose to focus on this idea of introverts and how introverts interact with one another in the workplace?
Well, that's a great question. I'm introverted myself, and I think many introverts at some point in their career face a challenge. And also, I've had, you know, years of experience working both with extroverts and introverts, but I've noted that introverts often feel like they're at a disadvantage. And I think our culture tends to veer towards extroversion. If you watch advertisements, you'll see that it's very action-oriented, people talking together, people bicycling, and you don't see a lot of ads, people just sitting alone reading and being
quiet. True.
And our workplace is, you know, equally extroverted. We're rewarded for speaking up and taking action. And I think more recently, there's an emphasis on what your brand is. So you have to be savvy about self-promotion. And it isn't as if introverts can't do this. It's just not as natural. So they have to be able to succeed in this career and in our world right now, they do need to learn how to integrate extroverted skills. They don't have to change who they are. They just have to balance it a little bit. And I think my mission has been to speak out for introverts, but maybe more important, to help them speak out for themselves. So in writing the book, I really wanted to present tools and give them ways that they could integrate extroversion but also embrace introversion, because there's so many wonderful qualities to it.
So it's funny, having been a recruiter myself for many years and somebody who I personally prefer many nights to be in bed with a book than I do to be out and about with people, because I'm one of those people who recharges by being by myself. But
right.
I've found that some jobs from the recruitment standpoint tend to favor people who are more introverted than others. Would you say that from your research and your experience that if you tend to err on the side of being introverted, that maybe it might help to stay away from certain careers, like, for example, sales? Or do you think that an introvert can thrive in any situation?
You know, one of the complications about introversion and extroversion is there's a spectrum. So some people might be slightly introverted, some people might be in the middle. So I think it depends. I think if you're extremely introverted, you're like you're on the highest scale of introversion, you might be happier working alone, you know, for a portion of the day at least. Or maybe, you know, I don't like to pigeonhole people into careers, but things that are related to technology like computers, you know, sometimes are a good choice for introverts. But I think you'll find a mix of introverts and extroverts in lots of different careers. So, you know, if somebody was highly extroverted, it's probably not going to enjoy doing programming on the computer. So, and I think maybe it's helpful also to maybe explain the difference between introversion and extroversion.
Please.
So extroverts tend to get energized. It's about your energy and not about social skills necessarily. So extroverts tend to get more energized when there's lots of opportunity for activity and being around people. And it doesn't mean they don't like to be alone, but they do, it does generate a lot of energy for them. The thing about introverts is that they do like people and they do like activities, but they definitely need more time to be alone because they get a lot of energy through reflection and thinking about things before they actually speak up or do things. So I think in terms of careers, that you'll see a mix, I think, in lots of fields, and it just really depends on how intense that preference is.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And so tell me a little bit about what you've learned from the book, you know, from writing the book. What characteristics or what can introverts do? Say you're somebody and maybe you're 60% introvert, 40% extrovert. If we're talking about a Myers-Briggs test, for example.
Right. Okay.
And that person might be in a role that is front-facing, or maybe they're working on becoming an executive. So what could that person do in order to enhance their efficacy when it comes to being in meetings or getting that job that they really want that's higher up the corporate ladder?
Well, I say there's two ways. One is, and I love to talk about this, to embrace the qualities that they do have as an introvert. So there's some value in thinking before you speak up. I mean, eventually you do have to speak up, but it often leads to insight and maybe innovative ideas. And solitude gives you an opportunity to be creative. And introverts are also very good at drawing people out. They tend to ask questions instead of talking about themselves too much, at least initially. And even the modesty that they often portray leads to diplomacy. You know, they're careful how they approach people. And one of the qualities that really works in our workplace is they go for depth. They have this ability to dig deep. And that's often a quality that will help come up with productive solutions to problems. And they do tend to be a little bit more sensitive, only I think it's just because they sometimes overthink things. And I think our workplace could use a little bit more empathy, and they'll make sure that everybody gets some attention if they're in a group. So I think those are actually really good qualities. And so I often like introverts to embrace that. However, because, you know, there's such an emphasis on speaking up, they have to learn how to do that. And I discovered I have three golden rules for speaking up. And the first one is to reflect and think carefully. So that's kind of natural for them. So it's maybe before a large meeting or an important meeting. Think about in advance, what are some key points that you might like to bring up? What are some questions you'd like to ask? Maybe you're working on a project. Maybe there's some special accomplishment. And use that quality of thinking through carefully to identify some important things that you want to bring up. Also, then organize your thoughts. Because, you know, when we brainstorm, our thoughts go all over the place. So you want to figure out, do you want to jot down some bullet points? Do you want to do it in PowerPoint? Do you want to bring your iPad? But what's going to help you organize your thoughts? And then I think those two are probably good for anyone, but I think the third one really works well for extroverts, and that's to practice. So just before the meeting, review your notes. If you're especially nervous about a big presentation, maybe you can get a colleague to sort of role play with you and practice and give you some feedback. I think for introverts, because they like to think before they speak up, that advanced preparation can really make a difference. Now, it is possible that you won't have a chance to jump in a meeting. Sometimes that happens. There's just so much talking going on, and you're thinking, and before you know it, the meeting's over. Mm. So there's this term I use called diplomatic interruption. I think that introverts have to learn to interrupt sometimes. So they might say, they might piggyback on what somebody just said and expand on it. Or they might say, sorry to interrupt, but I want to make sure there's time for me to present some important data that I found related to a project that we're working on. So I think you can be diplomatic, but I think you can just jump in and interrupt sometimes.
Would it be possible? It's funny, there was something that one of my mentors taught me years ago that I really loved. And he actually said to never say, I'm sorry, especially in a business meeting. And I know particularly for me as a woman in business, I've been breaking myself of that habit quite a bit because I do err on the side of being introverted. And I feel like it is, and you tend to over-apologize sometimes if you feel like you're interrupting people who might be more extroverted. So one thing I think that might help people is instead of saying, I'm sorry, so you don't put yourself as in a disadvantaged position from a power standpoint. And it sucks to talk about it, but it is business at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And one thing you could say is, oh, could I throw something in? Or I'd love to throw out an idea that I have. And I found, I think it was like a very tactful way to add value to the meeting without having it come across as crass or abrasive or inappropriate.
And you know what? I agree with you. And I think sometimes, especially, I don't want to push on gender, but I think that is often typical with women, which I just did, to say, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt. It's much more assertive to say, you know, I have something important to say, or we need to jump in here for a minute. So.
Yeah, and I think it's about finding a balance. And it's not a correction thing. I don't think that there is a right or wrong way. I think it's kind of like a coat. Everybody has to try it on. And whether you're male, female, whatever your preference or however you like to self-identify is, I think that you just have to see what's comfortable for you and try it on and try out all three different ways. For one person, I'm sorry to interrupt, might be a perfect entrance into a conversation in a meeting. You know, for somebody else, it might be a little bit stronger and more forward. I know you and I were talking before the show about, you know, some of the greatest leaders in the world, Elon Musk, you know, being one of them, who's an executive and by nature is an introvert. And so people like the Elon Musks of the world who might be introverts naturally might have opportunities to learn how to drive a meeting and still be true to themselves, if that makes sense.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And just one other thing to add to this is sometimes you could have a situation where you tried or it just didn't feel like you could jump in, and it doesn't have to end there. You could send an email after the meeting and highlight that you came up with an idea for some of the topics or some of the problems that were discussed in the meeting. I mean, you don't want to do that every time, but, you know, it isn't, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. So there's still options. But I think the most important thing is that introverts do have to find a way to take risks. And, you know, we all are in situations that we're challenged. And when we take risks, you know, we grow and it builds confidence. So.
I love that. And I know another big obstacle, and I see this so often on the recruitment side, is how can introverts be effective at selling themselves compared to their extroverted counterparts when they're in an interview? For arguably, you know, a lot of the law firms, corporations I've worked with throughout the 15 plus years I've been recruiting, they will choose somebody who on the outside is shiny, flashier, better self-expressed in an interview, where they're actually missing the diamond in the rough because candidate B instead of candidate A is a little bit more quiet, a little bit less eloquent in the way they express themselves, and yet they're the ideal candidate for the job. So what would you say to the people who might be in the candidate B scenario?
Yeah, well, I can't always change these biases, but I always tell people you don't have to be dynamic to be engaging. So I think what introverts can do, again, it gets back to preparation, because some of my experience with introverts is that they answer a question, but they don't expand. You know, it's like, I think when they get nervous, they're apt to say less, and then they are appearing quiet. So I know that sometimes clients come in with questions, you know, how do I answer this question? And I actually don't deal with the questions right away. I say, put those aside and let's pull out. Let's go back and talk about your accomplishments. So they pull out two or three signature accomplishments. Tell me more about some of the challenges you faced at work and pull out some examples. Then it might be how you made decisions or problems you solved, or you know, they now ask more questions about, you know, what makes you tick or what kind of person you are. So what are some adjectives that you'd use to describe yourself? So what you're doing actually is taking advantage of their ability to go deeper instead of focusing just on the answer to the question. And then it's also helping, you know, we live in a narrative culture, so it's how you tell the story. So once they have examples to help them role play on how they're going to tell the story. And I think if the content is interesting, and as I said before, engaging, I think they can win over a recruiter. I mean, you can't change who you are, so you just capitalize on, you know, the positives that you bring.
Yeah, great. And one of the things I found to be very beneficial, because in coaching a lot of people myself throughout many years for interviews, you know, you find these people who are the diamond in the rough, who really you can tell have the right skill set, but just may not know how to articulate it as strongly as somebody else in an interview. What can be very helpful in those scenarios is something I like to call proactive versus reactive interviewing. And what I mean by that is to anticipate that your introversion or your lack of expounding on things might be a potential reservation for them, and actually to be the one to address it early on in your tell me about yourself. So when they kind of open the interview and they say, oh, you know, what should I know about you? Tell me a little bit about yourself. Walk me through your resume. I often advise people to say what's true, say the elephant in the room, call it out and say, gosh, you know, something you should probably know about me. I'm really good when you give me an opportunity to do the job, but I sometimes struggle with telling you why I'm great because I'm more of a very hands-on person, and then kind of delve into the interview from there. But that way you're not at least beating yourself up and saying, oh gosh, do they know this? And you're giving the employer an advantage, because if they really like your background, you've now put them on alert that, hey, you know, I really want this and I want to be, you know, the candidate for you, and I might need a little help. And then I found in people in those scenarios, the interviewer can help coax that out of them and get them really to open up and feel safer, as opposed to kind of going through the routine, wham, bam, this question, that question, and give them a little bit more time space to open up.
Well, you know, I think that's a great suggestion. And I think the message is, you know, be yourself, be who you are. And I also think that approach or technique, often the interviewer becomes a little bit more empathic.
Exactly.
I mean, they don't feel sorry, but they feel like, oh, this is like a human. They see the human side of the person. I think that can be a really likable trait in an interview.
Yeah, and I think that it's okay to not always have the most salesy answer. And I'd rather, I tell job seekers this all the time, instead of having 10 rapid fire reasons that you might give an employer, I'm hardworking, detailed, organized, and people kind of rattle it off out of nervousness or trying to prove something, you're better off to have one salient point and have evidence to support that and say, gosh, you know, I'm a really good listener. In fact, you know, I'm trying to think about it. There was a scenario about 2 weeks ago where one of my team members was really struggling with an issue in a project that they were working on. And I really took the time and I spent a good 20 to 30 minutes listening to what was going on. And by the end of that day, we had actually resolved the issue with that project.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, this idea of, you don't, like you said, you don't have to give like a long spiel, that it's, you know, answering the question and just backing it up with a good example, you know, walking them through the situation and what you did and hope, you know, being able to highlight what the outcome was. So.
Absolutely. Well, tell me, so let's say that somebody has put themselves out there. They've now gotten the job that they got hired for. I know another obstacle sometimes for introverts can be getting kind of lost in the office because it was so cute. I was actually watching Chicago the other night, and there was one of the main characters in Chicago, the husband, if you've ever seen it, cellophane, nobody ever sees me because I'm kind of the quiet guy who does everything the right way and nobody ever notices me. And so what happens if you become that guy, like the guy from the office or whatever it is, where you're just kind of the guy who everybody passes by and nobody ever notices? How do you make sure that you stand out so you don't wind up stuck in a job that doesn't fulfill you for 10, 20, 30 years?
Right. Well, I think that's a good question, especially for introverts, because again, as I said, a lot of them don't lack social skills, but you know, especially in larger groups, they would just prefer to be in the office alone and do their work because they also enjoy that time for concentration. But what I tell introverts is maybe take 5 minutes a day and go out and have a conversation with a teammate or somebody that you work with, you know, just to get to know them better. But you're actually walking out of your office and just having like a comfortable conversation. And I think that that helps when you're in a group meeting, if you can get to know the people that you're working with individually. But I also think that as you're, trying to develop a relationship with your supervisor, that you, you know, again, use that advanced preparation of, you know, questions that you can ask and key points. And I don't, you know, but I think in terms of just building relationships, it's really important to just push yourself out there. And you don't have to do it for long periods of time, but, you know, just some short, you know, maybe moments every day. So people see you and they get to know you.
I agree. I totally think you're right about that. I remember I struggled at my first recruiting job because there was a group of probably 25 people, many of whom were age, and I was the only one who wouldn't go out to lunch with other people. And I still look back to it, and I, you know, I had to eventually force myself because I knew the normal thing was to, you know, go out to lunch with your colleagues, if not every day, once a week or, you know, twice a month. But it really was outside of my comfort zone because I would much rather sit and read a book or, you know, work at my desk and not be around people.
Right. Yeah. And I think that, you know, the other thing that you can do is maybe after those 5 minute conversations, hopefully there are one or two people you really feel like they resonate or a connection. And then you might go to the next level and go to lunch with them or out for coffee.
Yeah, and I think getting to know people one-on-one is super helpful because it can be very intimidating when you join a company and there's already cliques within the company and then you feel like the outsider kind of looking in. And so like you said, if you go out to lunch with people one-on-one, then it kind of helps you to, you may not be able to make an impact with 5 or 10 or 20 people all at the same time, but if you make an impact with people one at a time, if you make an impact with people one at a time, then that can make a really huge difference.
Yeah.
So.
And I think I think that introverts do well one-to-one. I think that's an area that they're less anxious about, and they can ask questions, and then as the person's asking, they're answering the questions, and they can start to feel more comfortable about revealing more about themselves.
Yeah, and so let's take this to the next level and talk about networking. So you want to develop your career. How can somebody who's an introvert supercharge their network?
Well, I think there's a few ways that they can do it. One is the networking never stops. So they have to find ways, not just internally, but externally. So, you know, there are professional associations, there are conferences. There might be a professional meeting that they can attend, and then they're going to meet people in their field or in their industry and build relationships with them also. And that's so valuable because, you know, we don't live in the most stable of times. So if you're laid off, you know, you're going to need to rely on your network to maybe connect you with employers or just give you some really good advice. The other thing I think is really great for introverts is to put together a small board of advisors. So it could be a colleague who's in a higher level position, a former boss, maybe a senior leader, that periodically you connect with and just get feedback about how your career is going, and you know where how you want to advance in your career and get some expert advice. So I think that's another great way. I'm also a big fan of social media for introverts. You know, I think actually it's a gift because you can get some visibility behind the computer screen and you can do it in a quiet place. And it's not, nothing replaces in person, but it still gives you some visibility and it makes it a little bit easier to make the initial contact. So LinkedIn, I think, obviously is the one of the strongest professional network for social media. And so you can make contacts and keep in touch with people. You can post articles that you think will generate interest in your field. You might develop some expertise and become what I call a blog star. And, you know, you can get people to make these short recommendations, brief recommendations. And also I tell people it's a way to pay it forward. So if you can also help a colleague or someone, an intern that you might have supervised, you know, to be able to write a short recommendation on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I personally utilize social media. That's how I was very, very, very grateful to be successful in what I did is I did exactly what you suggested is I was naturally a little bit more of an introvert, didn't know how to network. I'll never forget. This is one piece of advice I will give to introverts and extroverts tuning in out there is I remember I went to my first networking event when I opened my company about 10 years ago. And I showed up with about 200 business cards in my pocket to an event. And I didn't know what networking looked like. So I remember I went around the whole room and handed out every card I could to every person. I accosted them and people were like parting like the Red Sea and Moses, just diving, trying to get away from me. But I was just awkward and I didn't know what to do. And so first on the in-person networking, something I found to be helpful as an introvert is to actually wear an interesting article of clothing or something a little bit dramatic. So I always am the most brightly dressed person in a room or have an interesting pair of shoes on or something that will start a conversation. And I allow people to come to me and I find it to be much easier for me since I tend to prefer it that way. And it just makes the networking part easier in person. And then to your point about the online networking, I think it's a wonderful thing for people who are more introverted. Right. Find something you're passionate about. And that's what I began doing with recruiting is I began to see that there were many job seekers who had obstacles. And any time that somebody had an issue, I would write a blog article. And some articles were one paragraph, some were several. And then lo and behold, several years later, I published my first book because of the fact that I had culminated over 250 blog articles that then became my book.
Right. Wow, that's terrific. You know, I think the thing about networking, I always tell people that when I wake up to go to a networking event, I hope they cancel it. but then I put on my uniform and I go in. And my attitude now is I don't need to talk to 100 people.
Exactly.
If I can find one or two people and just have a really good conversation and maybe be able to follow up, I feel like I've accomplished a lot. Also, if there's a speaker, you know, that's also a plus because maybe I'll learn something that I can use in my own work. So I sometimes think that especially introverts aren't realistic about the networking. Like they think they're supposed to toss career, their business cards or talk to like 30 people. And also I think it's possible to limit your time, you know, if it's going to be an all night, you know, 6 to 10 or something, you know, stay for 2 hours. You don't have to stay for the whole night. So I think there are ways that, you know, introverts can make it manageable and get a lot out of those events.
I completely agree with you. As somebody, if I go to an event and I have to spend more than like 3 or 4 hours, it just mentally and emotionally drains me. And you almost have to prepare yourself for any of the other introverts out there listening. I have to spend almost the whole day by myself in preparation for a networking event. Right. And it sounds, but it sucks the energy right out of me, because spending 3 hours straight surrounded by a big group of people is emotionally draining for me, being an introvert. And so I know that I have to prepare myself. If I'm going to be around 200 or 300 or however many people in the evening, I have to make sure that whole day I spend 90% of my day by myself in order to rev up to be able to be present for whatever the event is.
Right. And I think you bring up the important point for introverts is recharging. It's yes. something that you absolutely need. I mean, sometimes you don't get enough time to do that, but in those social situations, I think that a lot of introverts handle themselves quite well, but their energy becomes, you know, you can feel, I mean, I can feel it almost physically when I'm, you know, it's getting to the point where I've just had enough. Like I'm listening, I'm starting to listen, but it's not coming through. And I know that it's time to, you know, say goodbye and move on and recharge my energy.
Yeah, I think that self-care, no matter whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, if you're an extrovert, great, go out there. Get the energy that you need from being around people. I know many people who are extroverts, and that fuels them. And for the introverts, for me, I'm the first one to arrive at an event, and I typically leave 2 or 3 hours into the event, and people might laugh at me because they'll say, why is Jenna leaving 2 hours before the party? But it's just because that's what I need, and I need to honor myself. Otherwise, I won't be any good to anybody.
Right. I also say to introverts, because, you know, if they're feeling bad that they're leaving early or they're in this room and they see these other people who are so, you know, talking away, that just because, and this is not to diminish extroverts because they obviously bring a lot to situations too, but, you know, just because you talk a lot doesn't mean you have good ideas or know how to solve the problem. So, you know, it's another way that I like to build the confidence of an introvert.
There's
power in being quiet too.
Yeah, it's observing and just seeing what are the things that other people aren't saying. And for me, when I go to a networking event, I look for one person I can make a difference with. Is there one person who I can offer a resource to here? And instead of going in with an agenda of I need something from you, of going in with a, hey, what if there were one person here who I could contribute to and make a difference to today? Then for me, it's valuable. And that's how I've built my network of tens of thousands of people around the world. It's just seeing how can I help other people? And it's not about asking for anything in return. Yes, at some point, you know, it's good to have resources, but it's more just about developing those one-on-one relationships and seeing how you can help people.
Right. I totally agree.
Well, tell me, you know, Jane, we could talk for hours about introversion, extroversion. We'll have to do a show now for extroverts specifically, although based on our conversation, it sounds like extroverts might have the upper hand when it comes to getting hired. But tell
right.
me, any cool... What's that?
You might not have time to ask questions. You might,
There's good and bad. I mean, a lot of extroverts, the people I know who are extroverted, typically, if I were to send 10 job seekers out who were introverted for an interview, maybe one of the 10 would really shine and get an offer right away. But if I were to send 10 extroverts out for interviews who were much more engaging and, you know, just very good at communicating their value proposition, 9 of the 10 offers within, you know, a short time period. So I think there is something to be said for it. And hey, at the end of the day, make it until you make it. I've learned how to act like an extrovert and mimic behavior because I've been able to watch other people and say, oh, that's what it looks like when somebody is engaged in a dynamic conversation. I'm going to try that, you know, in short spurts.
Yeah. So I see that's one of the positives and the advantages of introversion is, in a sense, we're forced to use both sides. And I don't think extroverts necessarily have to. I mean, they could benefit from it, but, you know, I think they see how the culture and how the workplace works to their advantage, so there's no reason, you know, to challenge that.
Absolutely. Well, tell me, Jane, were there any other points or any other topics around introversion or how introverts can be effective in the workplace that we didn't get a chance to cover today that you wanted to touch on?
Well, I'm just thinking of that, you know, we're in the age of acceleration and, you know, it's really important to be up on top of the trends and to think about how they continue to be successful. And it probably extroverts could value from this too, but I think it's important for them to find ways to share to be able to share their ideas. Innovation is really great if they know the best way to solve a problem, if they're up on emerging trends, if they can commit to learning. So it's not just about networking. It's, you know, expanding your knowledge about the industry and developing your skills. And we all have to keep on top of technology. And I guess the challenges, too, for them is that we all have to be self-directed with our careers now. You know, we can't expect anybody to take care of us. And I guess this is a message for everyone to be very good at what you do.
Absolutely. Be an expert. And that's the thing is, I remember it's so daunting to think about how does one get to become an expert. And the advice I would give to anybody out there, extrovert or introvert, is find a topic that you're passionate about and begin to interview people. I'm writing my second white paper right now, and by no means am I an expert on it. But what one of my mentors said is, if you know just a little bit more than the person behind you, that technically makes you an expert. And one of the quickest ways to become an expert is do research. I love getting on the phone, interviewing people, doing research, just much like the radio show, where I get to learn about a new subject, and then you have an opportunity to disseminate that information in a meaningful way to the community that you belong to.
Right. Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things overall about career development, to have a sense of what you're interested in and also have it balance with your values, because that, I think, plays a really important role. And it isn't just about introversion, it's self-knowledge and being aware. But I think for introverts, it's about embracing your introversion and sprinkling in some extroverted skills.
And treat it like a superpower. I mean, quite honestly, I might even be on the spectrum. I've had certain people diagnose me as possibly having Asperger's, which is different than introversion, but it exhibits itself in certain ways for me as being a little bit aloof in groups, et cetera. And I remember my business coach told me years ago, Jen, it's a superpower. If you do have it, great. It's a superpower, and embrace it and use it as such, because introversion or extroversion, or in my case, possibly having Asperger's, those are all superpowers that you can leverage if you're willing to look at it from that perspective.
Right. And I also think it is about taking risks.
Absolutely. And putting yourself out there and just, you know, sometimes you have to fail. I think that's a really important message, too, is that whoever is out there listening, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, don't be afraid to fail. Go out there and you might make mistakes and you might be the odd man or odd woman out, or you might totally botch up an interview, but it's only in botching up that interview or speaking up at the wrong time in a meeting that you're going to learn how to do it better next time.
You know, I agree. And I think that I think the thing about, you know, being successful is that part about being self-accepting. And, you know, the other thing is that sometimes I've discovered I've enjoyed myself despite myself, you know, being anxious about going to a networking event or something new, and, you know, have gone and actually enjoyed myself. So that's, I think, the value of putting yourself out there and just saying, you know, I'm going to do this. And the most important thing is that you're developing confidence.
Absolutely. Completely agree. Well, you know, tell me, Jane, where can our listeners find your book if they want to find your book or more of the work that you're doing, or perhaps even work with you as a career expert?
Well, I think the best way to find me is on my website. And it's www.janefinkel.com. Also, the book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and in bookstores, and also on IndieBound. That's the independent bookstore. And the book is also available online on those sites, too.
Perfect. And then do you want to give us the book title one more time, just so everybody knows
where
to find it?
Sure. Thank you. It's called The Introvert's Complete Career Guide. From landing a job to surviving, thriving, and moving on up.
Well, thank you so much, Jane. I think it's brilliant. And, you know, it's been nice for me to be able to come out as an introvert, because, you know, as a closet introvert all these years, just trying to pretend to be an extrovert, it's nice to be able to have this conversation and share it with people and be authentic that you don't get this way. It takes effort, and, you know, you have to put yourself in situations that might be uncomfortable at first. But like you said, you can get to the point of thriving no matter whether you're an extrovert or introvert. It's about finding that balance either way.
Well, as a fellow introvert, I've really enjoyed hearing about your experiences too.
Oh, thank you. And I think it's more, it's important for us to band together. I mean, that was one of the things for me that I found out of being diagnosed last year with Asperger's was that a lot of my best girlfriends, it turns out, were Aspian. And we, one of my best friends for 25 years, we were going through this book about, I think it's called The Aspian Women out there, if anybody is interested in looking it up. And she and I were just cracking up over the fact that we were both checking every single box for it. And we're like, oh, no wonder we've gotten along so well. So sometimes, you know, introverts might get along well together. And I have a lot of good extrovert friends too. And we just know when we travel together or do things that they're going to go out and go do something active while I'll sit in back and read a book for a little while.
Right. Well, I often value having extroverts for friends because they get me out. So I'm in the morning thinking, well, maybe I'll go to the movies. Let me see how I feel about it later. But then they're going to call and say, let's go. So I think that's a nice balance.
Exactly. And that's what life is all about. It's about balance. And also, I think at the end of the day, an important message that we can all take away is accepting ourselves and others, is that whether you're introvert, extrovert, somewhere in between, you know, any, whatever you might be, male, female, it doesn't matter. It's about just realizing you are who you are. You're perfect exactly the way you are. Accept yourself and accept other people wherever you meet them, because we're all going through our struggles and judging ourselves and trying to figure out where we fit in.
And I think the fascination with introversion and extroversion is that we all want to understand ourselves and other people. So it's just one dimension. I mean, there are lots of other factors, but it's a very interesting dimension that helps people understand, you know, who they are in the world.
Absolutely. And I think whatever helps you understand it more, for me, because I felt so out of sorts growing up as a kid, because I would spend all my time reading books in the library and thinking, why am I such a weird kid? You know, but the more that I understood and researched and understood psychology and furthered my knowledge, it just empowered me and made me realize, okay, we come in many different colors, shapes, sizes, and not one is better or worse than another. It's just about accepting yourself and others.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Jane. It's been an absolute delight to have you on the show today. Please, for anybody out there who thinks this book might be valuable for yourself or somebody in your life, go and find Jane's book on introversion, as she said, on Barnes & Noble or Amazon. And for anybody who might have missed a portion of today's show, do keep in mind that you can find the entire show shortly after available for download on the latalkradio.com Get Yourself the Job page on LA Talk Radio. And at the bottom of the page is the archive for this and any prior shows. And additionally, you can find the show on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You can subscribe. You can find the last 3 years worth of shows that we've done on a variety of topics. And please feel free to leave us any comments, likes, feedback that you might have. We also have a Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook. And I often post articles and content there that I get from press releases that might not make it to the show or guests that might have interesting topics. And so I like to share that with our listeners as well. So thank you so much for everybody to tune in today. And thanks again, Jane, for such a great conversation.
My pleasure.
Have a great day.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.